How many of you would like right now to be part of a deliverance? Would you like to help somebody? And what I do, I have to stay attached all the time to the ministry. I want you to listen to this text. Trent didn't come to Devo, so I went in to check on him, and his body was completely seized up. I called DJ and Robbie, which is staff, into the room. We proceeded to cast the demon out. He shook and convulsed violently. The shaking and convulsing goes away for a minute, but comes back. We have been continually praying the blood of Jesus in the name and the power of Jesus Christ over his body and commanding the demon to leave. Matt has texted me back. He says he has calmed down greatly. I think the demon is gone. I want you to do this with me. You don't even know who Trent is, but how many of you will be in agreement with me? They say, the Word of God says that one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000. We can come. This young man, he is hunting and searching for freedom. Recently got there and come out of a Jehovah's Witness background. And let's just agree right now in Jesus' name that he'll be free. Father, right now for Trent, we agree. Down there next to Gulfport, Mississippi, we just agree at Damascus Road Recovery Center that not only he, but every man in that building will be set free in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus. Say it again, in the name of Jesus. I dare you to look at your friend and say, in the name of Jesus. Come on, do it all over this building. Give him a big shout, and we will move into the Word. Thank God, Ashley, for this great, great, great music. Y'all still, you may be seated. Y'all still believe that we can cast out demons? I want to talk to you for just a second. I don't know if you realize the shape we're in this country. Nobody is talking about it a whole lot unless, I'm not going to get into politics. But the fact of the matter is this. The Roman Catholic Church is actually giving bonuses for priests that will train to be exorcists. They understand how real the demonic is. Now, you live in a sheltered environment. You live in the bubble of the blessing. Chris, I tell my children all the time, they don't have any idea what it's like to be out there, and I don't want you to know. But the fact of the matter is this. Right now in America, spiritualism is taking its toll. In the West, here in America, we do not recognize the spiritual part of man. We recognize the physical part. We recognize the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. That's what your soul is. It's how you think, it's what you want to do, and it's how you feel. But we will not recognize the spirit. That's why when you go to the doctor, there are no doubt some of you that are in here are on the medications of Prozac and Xanax. And I'm not a medical doctor, but I can tell you this, friend, you don't need to stay on them long, because all they are doing is trying to set aside what's inevitably the choice that you will have to make. And in, there's peace in the presence of God. I understand chemical imbalance. I understand that your chemicals have to be right. But we do not recognize demonic forces, and therefore we try to medicate them in the soul, and it will not work. You cannot counsel a demon. You can't medicate a demon. Thank God for medicine, but you have to have the spirit of man saved, and then you have to stay set free. Anybody listen to me? We think doctors can answer for everything. 50s, there's two things that happened when we were born, Herbie, in that decade. That is, number one, they come out with penicillin. Number two, they come out with a polio vaccine. Up until that time, people didn't have to go to the doctor for everything. In fact, the doctor usually came to you. The pharmaceutical companies right here are running, or in America, are running neck and neck with the oil companies. They're making a ton of money off of the pills that they're telling you that you have to buy. Here's my question for you. The people that live to be old age like my father and others, what in the world did they do? Because there was no pills back then to help them with depression. Anybody want to answer me? They prayed. My mother used to sit right over here. She had had two nervous breakdowns when my dad married her. She had already been through two husbands. If I'd have been my daddy, I wouldn't have married her. They were young and they died young. But I remember her. She'd prepare lunch for 30 people a day or more. They called them hands in the fields. And my dad would come in his truck and they would load up the supper or the dinner in that truck and take it out there. That was before Yeti. I don't know what in the world we did. And feed those 30 plus people in the field. After lunch, I can remember her, and of course she had help in the house, but I can remember her coming through the house and I remember her eyes being just wild. And she'd look at me and grab me and sort of tug me. And she'd set me down by her sewing room door in that old house on Van Dorn Street. Took the boys by there this morning. The fig trees and the pear trees are still there that my dad and I planted on Christmas Eve. And I thought it was terrible I had to work on Christmas Eve. But anyway, she'd set me down by the door. And she'd go in her sewing room and she would close the door and it had a thumb bolt lock. Because there's people in her life that were driving her crazy. How many of you know there are people in your life that will drive you crazy? They say one out of three people has mental illness. Think of your two best friends. If they seem okay, hello. You will deal with sorry people your whole life. People that choose to live their life sorry. You'll have to deal with that. But listen, friend, just because I get an invitation to your crazy party don't mean I have to come. Somebody said, well, they're driving me crazy. Well, why don't you get them out of the driver's seat? Why don't you start driving? Put crazy out and pray for them. Love you. She'd set me down and she'd go in there. Remember, she'd had two nervous breakdowns already. Wasn't taking any kind of medication. Lord, she probably needed it, I guess. I don't know. But I could hear her say, Father, in Jesus' name, I am worn to a frazzle. And God, I don't know that I can be what you want me to be. I got these chillen. She wouldn't call them children. She said, I got these chillen I got to raise. And Lord, I can't raise them because I feel like every nerve in my being is standing on end. And all of a sudden, she'd start wailing and weeping. And I thought, ooh, it's getting bad in there. But the wailing and weeping would turn into speaking in tongues. And about that time, I would hear her having her own Holy Ghost party in the sewing room. It wasn't but just a minute that the door would open and she would come out. Now, I don't know, but if you're a tillman, you learn to live. Your major snack was peanut butter and banana sandwiches. She'd look down at me and she'd say, son, are you hungry? And I was like, mama, you jerked me over here when you come in. Now you want to know if I'm hungry. And she'd make me a peanut butter and banana sandwich on some fresh white loaf bread. And the day got all right and she got in there and made supper for daddy. I'm here to tell you that God wants you to get up. He wants you to get out and he wants you to get free. Turn with your Bibles with me to Acts 12, and I'm going to try to make this as painless as I can and get out of here. Would you stand with me? We're going to start in the first verse. I'm going to read. I got several PowerPoints I could do. I struggled with that this morning, but God keep putting this in my spirit. Now, I want you to think about what I'm about to say. I love the I must in the Bible. I must be about my Father's business. I must. There's things I have to do. Most of us in here don't know what our purpose is. Once you find your purpose, that is your I am. Jesus created you. My purpose is this, Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to open the eyes of the blind, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's my purpose in life. God will show you what your purpose is. Once you know your purpose, what you've got to do is be about that purpose. So we find Peter here in this scripture. We find him, John has just been beheaded. Herodias has had her way. Herod is gathering together because he realizes that the religious Jews are having a heyday and he is pleasing them by persecuting these apostles. So he's got Peter in jail. There is no doubt he was planning on executing him. But how many of you know that God has another plan when you get serious with God and trust him? Let's read. Are you ready? I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now, about that time in the first verse of chapter 12, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, the first martyr there other than Stephen. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. This is the feast of the Passover. The only reason that Peter wasn't killed is because Herod didn't want to upset the Jews because they was into religious practice. I'm here to tell you, your religion will only get you so far. You need relationship. So when he had arrested him, he put him where? In prison. In prison. And he delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Now, I want you to think about that. That's four squads. I mean, he must have been some kind of criminal. Let's read on. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Who was that guy this morning? Said, everywhere I see you, you talk about prayer. At the time I see you, it's prayer, prayer, prayer. Where are you if you're in here? Wave at me. Hallelujah. That's what I was thinking. Watch this. If you pray, things will happen. Things will happen. You can't set it up. You can't make it happen. But if you pray, God will make it happen. I love this church because it's always been a praying church. I'm a product of the prayer of this church. Okay? And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping bound with two chains. Everybody say two chains. Between two soldiers. Everybody say two soldiers. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird thyself," or yourself, "tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him and did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought that he was seeing a vision. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. God can do things so big in your life, it seems like it's a dream coming true. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And Peter had come to himself. When he had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people," religion. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together. And what were they doing? They were praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to the answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate. She got so excited, but she ran and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking. They were totally ignoring the man that was out there, the miracle miracle was standing out there. They opened the door and saw him, and what happened? They were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and he said, go tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had happened or become of Peter. But when Herod searched for him and did not find him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. Now watch this. They give the guards the same assignment or sentence that would have been given to Peter. I'm here to tell you, God's been dealing with me for 2 weeks about this topic, and he told me this morning, I wanted to teach about communion, but he said there's some people in here that need to get up, you need to get out, and you need to get free. Somebody say, thank you for your word, Lord. You may be seated. You'll keep your Bibles open and follow me. Hallelujah. Anybody love the word? I watch men every day in my life that have their minds renewed. They're burned up. Does anybody know what this symbol means right here? That's a gang symbol for ate up. Do you get it? Ate up. Their minds are ate up. Drugs takes your reasoning ability. I watch them as they get free, and we get them to do substitutional thinking. They replace these evil thoughts about getting drugs and gang activity with the word of God. And after about 6 months, all of a sudden, their lives turn around. The word will work if you let the word work in you. Somebody needs to write that one down. So when they had arrested Peter, they put him in prison. Now, you might not realize you were in prison. There was a time in my life right here in the Grenada Church of God that I was in my own prison, my prison of depression, my prison of addiction. Somebody said, well, you really didn't have addiction. You don't understand. When I was a child, there was an extended member of the family that molested me and stole my childhood. And the enemy lied to me and told me that if I ever told anybody that I would not... they wouldn't love me, and I was in that I was so bound. I thought everybody hated me. How many of you know the enemy will lie to you, and the enemy will lie to you, and then he'll lie to you again. And if you believe the lie like it is the truth, it becomes a truth in your life. But I married a lady that helped me find freedom, and God set me free, and he got me out of my prison. And now here I am being able to speak to a nation that is addicted to porn and tell them how to get out of their jail. Can I have somebody in here take a praise break with me that you don't have to stay in your prison? They put 16 soldiers around. Now this guy, I want you to think about this. I mean, he wasn't a serial killer. Now he had a bucket mouth. In fact, Peter kept his mouth in his much so much, and his foot in his mouth so much, he probably had athlete's mouth. He's always stepping out there and doing something. I can relate to Peter. I can't. Okay? So they were keeping him with four squads of soldiers to keep him. And they, you see, Herod knew that there was something powerful about this Jesus, but he thought that he could keep it under control. What most people don't know about Herod is that he had Jewish bloodline. So he was exactly what religion was looking for. He could be that Pharisee, and he could also be the patriarch and the tetrarch. In fact, they had not really had a king for a long, long time. And if you'll study history, you'll find him being king for a short period of time. Does anybody remember what happened to him? Here's what happened to him after this event. He's sitting on his throne, and he is telling the people to praise him. He diverts the praise from God, and the word of God says that his body was eat with worms, and he died within a matter of days. I don't know about y'all. I don't want the praise. I want him to have the praise. I just wonder if there's anybody in here today that wants Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Glory, to have the praise that the G-C-O-G. Come on, praise him. I know it's Sunday morning. I'm under assignment. I'm under assignment from God and from Brother James McElroy. He says, we got revival starting next week, so I'm just here today briefing you for that move of God. I hear this in my spirit. He will do exceeding abundantly above anything you ask or think. I used to dream as a child of standing behind a pulpit. I didn't have the education. I serve right now on boards and committees that I don't have the credentials for. I said, why do y'all need me? Because of the fruit in your life, they say. Because God will do with you what you can't do with yourself. And I like to brag on him. Does anybody like to brag on him? Turn to your neighbor and just brag on God just a minute. Say, he's a good God. I love verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison. But what? Constant prayer was offered to God by him and the church. I want to tell you what kind of peace he's in. Here he is locked up. What they would do is they'd take two soldiers and put them on each side of you and chain you to them. The real critical, terrible, violent prisoners. Apparently Peter wasn't worried, or else he'd had some Xanax. No, I'm joking. You know what he's doing? He's in the jail cell and he's kicked back. He's not worrying. You need to write this down. I can worry or I can pray, but I can't do both. And I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. There's some of you that are set in practices of your life and you're waiting on God to do things your way. Listen to me, friend. He'll never do it your way. He'll end up pulling you out and putting you in a place of faith. But I tell you what he will do. He loves you enough to get you a place to embarrass you enough that you will do what he wants you to do. Somebody said, well, God won't embarrass you. That's New Age teaching. We want everybody comfortable. I didn't come up in that environment. You know what happened to me, Mary Lee Mabry? I'd sit back there a many time gripping that pew because they told me what was going to happen if I kept living the way I was living. When was the last time outside of this church you heard a message on hell? You don't hear them anymore because God's grace is sufficient. Yes, it is. But do you ever read about where he will turn you over to a reprobate mind? We're indoctrinated with just enough of the gospel to be vaccinated from the truth of Jesus. Prayer was being offered to God for him by the church, and when Herod was about to bring him out that night, what was Peter doing? Oh, God, I don't know who's going to take care of my 401k, my 503, 50607. I wonder who's going to at the bank. I wonder if my kids, who's going to take care. What was he doing? He was sleeping. My wife told me one day, she said, I believe you could go to sleep in the middle of the road. I live in peace. I don't have to be looking over my shoulder. I live in peace. I learned how to do that. I done been in religious bondage before. Amen. How many of you are thankful that you're not in religious bondage anymore? Hallelujah. I'm going to dress appropriate, but I tell you what, friend, I don't live. I'm free of that stuff. Well, I tell you what. Ooh, this is good stuff. I better go on. Okay. When Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. I don't know about you. I have enough trouble. I want it comfortable where I'm sleeping. Anybody in here want it comfortable? How many of you like it cold? Well, I had to learn to like it cold because when my wife was going through whatever that season was, stayed 42 degrees in our bedroom at night. Now she's lost all that weight and she sleeps under an electric blanket. Talk about God got a sense of humor. He's not worried about the chains. He's not worried about the pain. You see, friend, what you're doing is you're thinking about the change. I want you to look at this. He's put two chains between two soldiers. I want to deal with this. This is what I believe it was. The first was doubt. Doubt. The chain of doubt. Two chains. The chain of doubt. The next is the chain of discouragement. See, if the enemy can get you doubting. I remember as a little kid, we'd be at the house. I don't know if Lou Annis can remember this. You might have been too old to be in there with us. Not that you're old now, but anyway. We'd get the ironing board and get back there in those back two rooms, and I'd pull it out. And Teresa Franklin would get over in the window sill, and she'd push the window sill back. This is before she could play piano. She's a great musician now. And she would get over there. She'd be Sister Bessie. And Renee and Brenda, my sister's here. I love you, sister. I hadn't got to see her in months, Brenda. I love you. Keep praying for you. I'm trusting God for your healing. So Brenda and I would be in there, Wanda Sue. And I don't forgot who else was in there. But anyway, we'd get to singing. And Teresa would get to play in the windowsill. Ding, 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 ding. Hey, I'd get behind the ironing board and start preaching. Hallelujah. I had my pulpit. You see, children naturally have a desire to serve God. I'd start doing that. And it wouldn't be long. We'd start having church and we'd start playing, speaking in tongues. Oh. And then Mama would come in with a switch. Y'all ain't going to blaspheme the Holy Ghost in my house. I don't know if you remember that. I remember that well. I tell you what, I pray that my kids would hear me pray in the Holy Ghost. I pray that they would have an understanding to go after Him, because it is only the power of the Holy Spirit through the blood of Jesus Christ that will set you free. If you believe that, shout to the top of your voice and clap your hand. Oh, come on, church. I heard this was a Pentecostal church. Somebody said, why do you get so red-faced? Are you angry? No, actually, I'm having a good time. Actually, right now, I am high as a kite. And I didn't have to give a drug dealer anything for an eight ball. You know what drugs are? Drugs are Satan's imitation, Holy Spirit. He wants to inoculate you from the real thing. But after you get tow up from, anybody here have been tow up on the Holy Ghost? I'm talking about where somebody had to put you in the car and drive you home. Oh, I don't believe in that stuff. Yeah, that's why you're so smart. Your problem is your pride. Most people won't get baptized in the Holy Ghost because it's all about control. You see, baptized means submerged or at the control of. That's another message. Watch this. There were two soldiers. Two soldiers, two chains, two soldiers. Satan don't just have one on you. There's an assignment against my life. If you're doing anything for God, hey, listen, I stepped out at Meridian one night, a Sunday after service. I had a black 4Runner. I loved that 4Runner. And I walked around the back of it, and I saw asphalt, just chunks of it going like that, popping like popcorn. And then I heard the shots, and I turned around, and a black Nissan truck sped off. If he's wanting to kill me, I'd have been dead. That drug dealer was sending me a warning. I went home. I didn't eat lunch. I was afraid. As one of my friends said, I was a scared. Now, we want to talk big and everything. The only way that I can stand with any of these men and women that I work with is to be full of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you have to do it afraid. Having faith. I went home that afternoon. I told Tracy, I don't think I'm going to service tonight, darling. She said, what? She knew me. She said, what? I said, I just got shot at. We couldn't even get the number. I don't know who it is. She said, why don't you get in there and pray? I went back to church that night. And I went back every time after that. And some of the people that were involved with trying to scare me ended up coming to the Lord. Fear. Doubt and fear, doubt and fear, discouragement, unbelief are the soldiers. You got to understand that. He just don't want you to really believe what God said. There was a time that that Horace Tillman, Mamie Staten, and I finally got one of those plaques of the 50th thing. I understand that y'all were cleaning out. James McElroy brought it to me and presented it to me in MIP, and I just stood there and wept because all those old charter members, what they went through, the tent revival where the Italian man provided the electricity and the miracles down through the years and the ministers, the Jack Ezels and others that have come out of that church. I got that in my office now. It might not mean anything to you that this is a powerful church, but this is a place where the Holy Spirit abides. There hadn't always been padded pews. There hadn't always been air conditioning, but this church is going to grow. God will bless this church because it had beginnings of faith, and it got up, and it got out, and it got free. Come on, praise Him. I love this. The angel always shows up. You haven't ever had an angel show up? The angel of the Lord stood by him and a light shone in the prison. Now Peter is asleep. He's dead asleep. I don't know how Chris sleeps, but my wife says I sleep sound. Does Chris snore? She ain't going to say nothing. She's going like, real men snore. Hallelujah. Ladies, that was your place to say amen. I don't know if you've ever got an elbow in the side in the middle of the night. Did that ever happen to you? I mean, you were sleeping good. What's the matter with you, woman? Turn over. Can anybody relate to that? That's rest theology out of 1 Clarence 3 and 7. Okay, now, look. The angel has to punch him in the side. He's resting so good. You know, if you just trust God, say that with me. If I just trust God. I like what Stan Toler says. God's never failed me, but He scared me to death a number of times. He hits him in the side. And He raised him up saying, watch this, arise quickly. Somebody say, get up. Get up. Get up from where you are. Get up from what you're living in. Life is better than that. I never will forget when I went into ministry, somebody talked to me and said, now, Tillman, this is what's probably going to happen with you. You have an ability with people. You didn't attend Leave, which I've since that time got a lot of the things that I need. I don't have everything that I need. I'm thinking about going back to school, Herbie, again. But over the years, I've educated through Lee and through other colleges. But anyway, they told me, said, you don't have a degree, and you didn't marry an overseer's daughter. You might have a church of 50 to 70. You're 32 years old. You probably won't do anything. One guy told me, Haskell Rhodes told me, said, you just need to stay and preach right around here. I had to get up. I had to get up. Anybody remember the night that I got up? Actually, Teresa come after me and said, you either going to get up and we're going to do this or we're not going to be married. Because the enemy had convinced me that I couldn't. I got up, and then the next thing you got to do is you got to get out. You got to get out of your prison. Some of you have a comfortable prison. Let's read on. Angel of the Lord stood by him. The light shone round about him, and he struck Peter on the side, saying, arise quickly. And what happened? When you get up, what happens? What happened that next verse, next part of that verse? His chains fell off. Somebody do like this right here. Shake it off. Get up. Get rid of it. I'm going to do that. Listen, Holy Spirit says some of you have been dealing with people for years. All they do is just keep dragging you through their dirt. You know what you need to do? Is say, I love you, sister, but you are some kind of airheaded. Don't be calling me. Call Pastor McElroy. Lord, don't do that. Listen to this. I found out, here's what I do with church members, Shay. Love you, Shay. Here's what I do with church members. I'd pray with them, and we'd pray until the Lord would speak to them. I mean, the Word of God says that my sheep know my voice, right? Another, well, not, I'd pray with them till he'd speak to them. And I'd say, okay, I'm going to write this down. Actually, I'd write it down, and I'd make them a copy. I'd type out and say, this was our session, what the Lord spoke to him. Come back to me in 3 weeks. Well, it ain't working. He's still the sorry old trashy husband that he was before I sat down with you the first time. I'd say, okay, wait just a minute. Let me go over here to my file. Do you have that paper where the Lord spoke to you? No. I said, well, let me remind you what he said. And I'd go over there and give them the words that the Lord spoke to them. And I'd say, are you doing this? No, I ain't doing that. He's hurt me. I'd say, well, how do you expect me to help you if you're not doing what God told you? I'm a pastor. I'm not a miracle worker in the sense of changing you. Now, God can change you through me. Are you following me? Quit spending your time with people that don't want to change. Find you people that want to change and pour into them. My God, discipleship is the only way. So he told him in verse 8, gird yourself, tie on your sandals. Everybody say, put your shoes on. Laid up on the couch. Couch potato. Honey, bring me some tea. Get up, get your own tea. Women, I tell you what, if you want to give a little extra, you can. I come in from preaching, Mary Lee, and I'd come home. I'd tell Teresa, I'd say, what's for supper? Would you fix my plate? She said, no, it's on the stove. Fix your own plate. You've been out and they've been feeding you like a king at these churches. You home now. Now, I cook. She don't eat hardly nothing. I cook for her. Basically, it's grilled chicken, broccoli. What a life. If it wasn't for Jesus, it'd be a dull life. I went in the other night, hastened. She had on buttermilk cornbread. Anybody in here, I guess it might be a Tillman thing. I like cornbread and milk. Anybody in here eat cornbread and milk? We're going to see how country you are. Cornbread and milk. Now listen, get you one of them red onions and chop it up in there, or else you can just eat wedges as you're eating it. Come on, with a big old glass of tea. She had me some cornbread. I said, I smell something. She says, I'm baking a cake. I said, Lizma, here I come. She baked me a 3-layer chocolate cake. Did anybody see anything on Facebook about that? Hallelujah! I ate half of it before I gave the other half to somebody else. Glory to God, I'm going to get up and then I'm going to get out. Put my shoes on. That means he's going somewhere. Y'all getting this? Now here's what we want to do. The Holy Spirit just showed me this a moment. We want to go out barefooted where we can complain to the angels. Oh, ow, this gravel hurts my feet. I know you set me free, but it ain't like I want it. Look at your neighbor and say, put your shoes on. And so we did, and he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. Hey, look. I know I enjoy my pajama clothes. I like stuff with spandex in it. Amen? Now, that's the loose clothing with the spandex that'll hold it up. You big people, please don't wear that spandex stuff. My God, I have to look at you in Walmart. Comfortable, big old t-shirt. I got a t-shirt. It's a 3X. I wear a 2X, a 3X. I like had it on this morning, didn't I, boys? But you know what? I was coming to the house of the Lord, so I got this little chubby body cleaned up. I groom my beard. You better be glad I bathe, because I stink bad when I don't. and I put on my get out clothes. Somebody say, you get out clothes. Come on, hallelujah. You need to quit going to Walmart in your pajamas. Can I have somebody say hallelujah? You need to dress for success. I come in here this morning. Now, son, I don't have on a tie because I'm old enough I can do that. But your dad is a great example. He's dressed for success. Hear me. Put your clothes on that you can get out in public in. And when you walk into a room, instead of saying, depression is here, you say, hey, the joy of the Lord just walked in this room. Get up. Get out. Somebody say it with me. Get up. Get out. I'm preaching to somebody this morning. I've been through depression. At the height of Cornerstone, one Monday morning, I woke up. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That dark cloud there? I didn't get out of bed. That woman I'm married to, she's rough and tough and don't dip snuff. She brought a boom box. Anybody remember boom boxes? She brought a boom box in, set it in the bedroom. I said, leave me alone. I'm tired. She said, no, you're not. I know what's going on. She put Lyndall Cooley, a Brownsville revival that said stuff like, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole from me. I said, turn it off. She said, nope. And if I'm standing here, the power in the house went out. And I said, see there, leave me alone. She says, you can't get started in this because you know how deep it goes. Some of the greatest people that do awesome things for God suffer from that. Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. It said that his heart was heavy and sorrowful unto death. You know what she did? Just a minute, I heard that thing come back on. She had went and put batteries in the boombox. I rolled out of that bed, put my feet on the floor, hastened, and hear me well, Shep. I had to set up. And I didn't have anything really bad that was going on, but I had to realize that that was the enemy. He was trying to keep me in chain, and he was trying to keep me bound in my prison. But I'm here to tell you, every day I look 50 men in the face and 30 women. And when I walk into that room, they're detoxing off drugs. But I walk in and I'll say, hey, good morning. God's got a plan for you today. Come on, praise him in this house. I heard y'all got out by 12, so I'm trying to close. Some of you said we do, some of you said we don't. So we went out and followed him. And he did not know what was done, but that the angel was real, but thought he's seeing a vision. God told us to go down there, South Mississippi, in that old Baptist church. Old Baptist church. It was a community center before it was a church. Y'all need to come see me sometime. Walked in there, smelt like mold and mildew. God said, do this thing. You know what happened? All of a sudden, stuff started coming together. Finally, we outgrew the Devo room. Now we have to have a multipurpose area in the old sanctuary to where they break it down. It'd be 200 in service on Sunday morning, and none of them hardly are churched. Why? Because I followed what God said to do, and you will as well. But I look around some days, and I want to pinch myself because I can't believe it. Now the old church is fixed up. Now we have some vans to get the men back and forth to the pallet company and the baling company. Now we actually have jobs for them to do. How would you like to take care of 30 men and not have a job for them to do? And all of them come out of a gang or a prison mentality. It'll drive you crazy. Unless you trust Jesus. But that's where it seems unreal. How many of you in here, and I'm closing, how many of you have ever had God do something that just seemed unreal? If you hadn't, you need to keep trusting him. One of the things he did unreal for me is Hasten and Shep, he sent me your grandmother. my daddy had bought a car from Garner Funeral Home. It was an old Chrysler. It was a 60s model. He got a good deal on it. They had traded. Herbie, it looked like a Batmobile. Had fins on it. And he thought Mama needed that car. And I started driving. I'd drive him around in it. We kept that long. I never will forget. He'd say, pull over here. There's old Sammy. I need to talk to him. He owes me some money. And I'd roll the window. That looked like the mafia. He had on his Stetson hat. That guy jumped back. And he'd say, I remember. I just wanted to stop and tell you I love you. Oh, I was on my way to pay you, Mr. Tillman. He said, no, I didn't stop to make you lie. I just stopped to tell you I loved you. I know you owe me. And he died. He had over $30,000 on books that we never got back because he was a giver. We drive that old car. Before I started driving, though, I had to ride in that big old back seat. And every Sunday, I hated it. Grace, I couldn't stand it. We had to go pick up Miss Lois Costello. Now, I love Miss Lois. I couldn't stand Peggy Lynn. Seriously, I loved her. She was my friend. But she was one of those women that always wanted to tell you what to do. I remember one time she slapped me just for no reason. I wanted to go heifer. I'm sorry, I didn't say that in church, did I? So that morning, I was ready to come to church to see Herbie and everybody else, Mike. And Mama was driving. Of course, Daddy wouldn't. He's sitting over there telling her how to drive. His words he'd say, Louise, you need to go a little peart. Y'all don't understand what peart means. That means a little faster. And she never called him honey. She always called him Brother Horace. I guess you would too if your husband was 30 years older than you. Brother Horace, I'm doing the best I can. Watch that fellow there. He's on a bicycle. He might... But we finally got to a place called Futhyville. Does anybody know where that is? And we pulled up in front of that house. Miss Lois, such a precious person. Aunt Irene and her were sisters. I loved them dearly. She come out, and here come Peggy Lynn. Mini skirt and all. If you see her, tell her I love her. I miss her. I was in the back, and I always wanted to sit as far on the other side as I could get from Peggy Lynn because she was going to get smart about something. But I looked, and there was this knockout blonde that had spent the night with her. And they opened the back door on that old Chrysler. And I looked up, and she was getting in first. I said, you can just sit right on right here if you want to. Grace was our youth leader. She had a, Grace, I probably never thanked you enough for putting up with me. I love you so much. We had a hayride. And Teresa was very poor. I didn't know how poor she was. And she showed up. She had on fishnet hose. To a hayride. At the end of the hayride, she looked like Raggedy Ann. On the way home, I was in a truck with Porky. We was sitting in the back, never kissed. And it was 15 years old. And we was riding to drop him back off at their house, and a tree frog hopped off on her shoulder. Now, my wife to this day can't stand tree frogs. But me being suave and debonair, I mean debonair, I just leaned over, Joe, and I thumped that tree frog off, and I promise you that woman kissed me. And I went home that night and I said, she will be my wife. And in the Grenada Church of God on Poplar and Harvey Streets, at 18 years old, we walked down to an altar, and she became my wife. And we got up, and we got out, and we got free. because of our faith. Would you stand with me? I literally have my wife, because my parents got up, they got out, and they got free. If you're in here this morning and you're struggling and you can't seem to get free of your circumstances, I want you to step out. All I'm going to do is challenge you. And if you want to stay in your muck and your mire and you want to stay in that depression, you don't move. But I'm looking for hungry people that want God to do something with their lives. I'm challenging you right now. Step out in the name of Jesus. Come down here. Come on. No invitation, nothing big happening, no great music. Ashley, if you want to, you can come play. But, darling, you probably work and work and work. Maybe this morning you just need to take a break, because I love you. Congratulations on the baby. I'm waiting. Oh, there's some more of you. You got it all together, don't you? You just forgot where you put it. I'm waiting. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. They lose